all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow. Standing on an endless horizon, with our faces turned into the blazing sun. You've come all.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello, and welcome to the Dog Poet Transmitting. I've slipped into the saucer pod for my last week's show, and hoping I can make that happen in respect to my intent to do so, as you may remember from last week's show, if you actually hear this. We're hovering above the conscious mind, that area of our being that observes and reacts to the circumstances of life. We're looking down upon our own conscious mind and being amused by the comedic quality of it as it scurries to and fro seeking answers to those things that the conscious mind cannot apprehend, because these can only be comprehended by that which inspires the conscious mind when the conscious mind is unified with it and lifted up to the level necessary for the perception of it. I was talking last week about our waking day awareness of the divine compared with the heightened and visceral awareness. I was also talking about some of the changes all of this has been putting me through. I had a number of visits this past month, which turned out to be quite a bit different than my usual visits, which are already strange compared to what often goes down with people. I won't go into the details of the usual visits. Those who have come around know that the unexpected often intrudes in the day-to-day. I don't know why this is, but suspect it has something to do with the Kundalini and something to do with the times we are in, because the incidence and intensity of experiences, well, it's accelerated over the course of more recent times. Usually the experiences are of the enjoyable supernatural sort that might happen in a supermarket, a town festival, or even a living room. I don't know in advance what they're going to be, so I'm generally surprised like my visitors are, only less so because I run into it more often. I don't know what any of it means, but anything that signifies the divine's presence in my life is welcome, and everything else in my life pales by comparison, and it doesn't hold much interest for me. I hope the reader doesn't take the impression that I think there's anything special about me, because I know personally that I'm wounded and retarded in certain areas and spend my time waiting and wishing and praying for transformation. I'd have to say that composes most of my days most of the time. Doesn't really matter what I'm doing. It's on my mind, and so when I fall short of my expectations, it hurts. But I've been there before, so I just shake it off and move on. Something different happened this time around, because I'm seeing more deeply into myself. I'm also seeing more deeply into others, and a certain polarizing condition can set in because I'm still treating with the reactive mind, and lately any reaction is less effective than none at all. This can be temporarily unfortunate, depending on how it's viewed by those around me. Now, we're all struggling for understanding, and that means all of us. Meanwhile, unusual events occur, which I'm sure can or have made an impression on whoever was around. I'm ambivalent about it, because one part of me knows that everything is okay and sorts itself out automatically at the speed of the understanding taking place in the minds of everyone, including myself, and that's a given. On the other hand, there's the momentary confusion for those for whom unusual events are not the usual fare. Some of my experiences are painful for me because there are things that come with a deeper seeing that can impact on you emotionally. There are things you wish you didn't see, because all of us want to maintain our illusions, but our illusions are what separates us from the divine. In a certain way, I've been very blind about seeing how people view me, but now that's going away, and a part of me is grateful for the unveiling, and a part of me wishes I didn't see what I do. One could argue that my present seeing is illusion too, but there's that visceral thing again. Lately, I've come to understand the difference between a projection based upon a grasp of surface conditions and a direct vibratory link to the occasion. I'm also starting to see the effect that others have on each other and how that plays out in terms of things that happen, and I know that nothing's under my control except for my acceptance of it. Real power lies there, but each of us must discover what that means. We all want people to like us, and we go through all sorts of intricate steps in order to make this happen. Even our best intentions in this regard are sometimes not to the benefit of others and ourselves because, well, it's insincere. We want people to like and even love us for who we are, but are we who we are? This is why problems occur in relationships as we grow older, because we change. Our real self does not change, and it's important for us to discover who that is, because we leave a trail of misunderstandings and disappointments in the wake of our accommodations for our false self. It's a sticky wicket. This is how we come to understand that people love us, because they see through the false parts of us to who we really are, and often they see that more clearly than we do. I hope the listener knows that in my talking about myself, I'm seeking to open up areas of consideration for them, because we all go through these things. It can be discussed impersonally, okay, from any point of observation, or it can be discussed using the personal model and hope for a shared identification. As you might imagine, I'm already thinking of doing the next radio show right after this one, so I'm not sure why, but we'll see. One of the worst things that happens to us is when people make judgments and assumptions based on one thing or another, and where there are all sorts of reverse serendipity involved, and it turns out to be an anomaly, and yet it may well not look like it. Life is full of situations where we act out or pass through places we may not have been with people we don't know, and I expect that's karma. I'm starting to see karma and how it adjusts the light and special effects around us in an automatic way, and I'm beginning to see that the reactive mind is an essential part of our karma and that gaining control of it can free us in ways that we might not believe possible for the moment. Well, for the moments we find ourselves in anyway, at this time. It's been said everything is mind stuff and everything is mind. If that is the case, then our reactive mind is very important indeed. Think about it. Every day we get up and go forth into the world and experience the world in respect of the course we're on, which is a reflection of the personality that we carry, and we react to people as an expression of that personality, and that personality has a destiny that is based on its composition. Think of it as astrology, where the unique combination of planets and aspects that compose us create an impression of our being, which counterpoints or harmonizes with our surroundings. We might be harmonious in We might be harmonious in one place and dissonant in another, but it's still the same music and vibration, but it's tuned to the world, or in need of tuning, but it's the divine it needs to be tuned to. And that means putting the focus there first and letting the chips fall where they may, because the chips falling are the parts of ourselves that are mortal and imperfect. It's a painful sacrifice that needs to be made. Do we play a game of working to integrate with the world around us for the benefit of our temporary movements through these circumstances of life, headed toward we know not what? Or do we expose ourselves at every instance, headed toward a moment of revelation with that which we're focused on? Because you see, that is inevitable if you're moving toward it. It is inevitable for everyone, whether they're moving that way or not, no matter what they think, because that is the destiny of all existence, and not headed there in a conscious fashion, simply surrounding life. And the reactive mind is right there, and the reactive mind is the instrument of karma as we react to each situation according to the state of the combination of what we are. Isn't that what stilling the mind is all about? We experience greater or lesser degrees of conflict. We experience the same in respect of sorrow, guilt, and so on and so forth. I've been viewed with suspicion most of my life, well, much of my life, and I now know why, because I can see it in the moment it occurs and the telepathic thing kicks in, and I think this is quite simply not operating according to predictable lines and carrying a vibration that announces that regardless of speech and actions. Each of us are gods in the making. If we are offsprings of God, if we call God our father or mother, then what does that mean ultimately? I don't think a lot of people get this because they are anthropomorphic in their viewpoint, making God a bigger them when the accent should be on a smaller us. This seems contradictory when you think of us as gods in the making, but every legitimately spiritually illumined person that I met was as humble as dust, and I attribute that to awe. I attribute that to the trembling awe one experiences in the presence of the divine. Whatever it takes, we have to make the divine the centerpiece of our life. We have to, but we don't have to, and that is the key of our humanity. We can go our own way over and over and learn the same things over and over in different ways as we come to the same blind alley where the personal will always winds up, or we can let the sails of our ship be filled by the all-knowing winds of the divine and let that invisible hand take control of the rudder. It comes down to how much pain we can stand in the face of what our desires demand but cannot provide. All desires are a diversion away from the object of all longing. Once again, desire is the agent of God's will. As much as I try to see the divine as my friend, I try to see the divine as my lover because of the intensity that is possible in that expression. It's the opportunity to feel something with total abandon and which brings forth all of the passion, inspiration, and freedom that is so familiar to our being across the expanse of so many lives. I have a suspicion that those who regard and seek after the divine in this way comes very quickly to the goal. Consider that a sexual drive is the same force that, when directed up and in, results in the alchemical marriage, self-realization, and the liberation of the soul from the chains of the earth. In this way, we could say that it's all sex, as the world amply demonstrates to us. Our passions for the world make us blind to the divine, and our passion for the divine makes us blind to the world. You should read the accounts of the saints and mystics as they describe their relationship with and to the divine. Well, Song of Solomon's an example. It sounds like romance. It sounds like the passionate ardor we experience in human contact of a similar nature, but it is a great deal more than that. The physical passion of the temporary dreams of earth pale by comparison. I've had a taste or two of this a time or two or three, and the little I've experienced surpasses everything I've ever experienced on this plane. And as a poet, I got the full measure of that. I can't speak negatively about human congress, and why should I? Populates the world, and there'd be no world without it, no stage upon which to progress towards something containing such joy and fulfillment that no words or music can describe it. Those of us who suffer and have been marginalized by the world, who've been on a merry-go-round of slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, are the ones who are truly blessed. It may not seem like it, but we are. It should be proof positive to us that we are on the right track, but that suffering does not have to continue, and the answer to its cessation lies within us. We must come to the place where we can accept and acknowledge certain things. I don't know how to phrase it, because I don't exactly know what to say, because I don't know. But I have my This is a remarkable time. That is why so many billions have come, and why so many have forgotten why they came. That is why the power of materialism is so strong, and why the power and presence of the divine seems inexplicably distant, and then close up. It's why personal transitions are happening at such a rapid rate, and why it's so difficult to make headway. It's trial and testing, and that's all about stripping away the things that are holding us back. If we ever needed faith and determination, it's now. And I pray for an abundance of that for you and for myself. These are very special times. There is tremendous opportunity for all of us. And that is why the material world is exerting such a magnetic pull upon us. And we really need, to pay attention to that, because the world is constantly distracting us away from it. It's a very important thing. It's the most important thing in life. And yet, we're surrounded by trivia on all sides. I don't know what to make of it. And the pull is powerful. The pull of the world is incredibly powerful. But what you look at the world and you think, how can this have any kind of pull on me? But you know, it does. And it's important to recognize it. Because we just go on our way, and we're going on our way, and oftentimes we don't really understand what's happening to us or why we're being dragged down into things and places where we don't want to be. Well, anyway, we're here at the end of the broadcast. Well, as we will one day be at the end of our road, or our life, or our rope. And that's up to us, what we make important to ourselves. Since only one thing is important, well, we shall surely be able to see how great our disappointment or our joy will be. That's the thing about life. You look back at it and say, geez, what happened? What happened to me? But there you are at the other end. As Ramakrishna, as Yogananda said, if you don't look for God in the springtime of your life, He won't be there in the winter. I'll see you next week if there is one. I think I'm going to go ahead and do another radio show. It'll leave me with a sense of accomplishment while I'm away, and I could use that right about now. Even though this is 10 days away, and that will be near 3 weeks away. Somehow it's right now anyway. And that's a little odd for me to be doing it this way, and so hope you'll pardon my confusion and the rest of it, because for some reason it throws me a little bit off center. So may the light of the divine shine upon and within you as you come and go. Hare Krishna, aloha, and haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.